when we think about it from that perspective and really see people pleasing for what it is, it's actually really harmful in our relationships. It's something that causes us to be inauthentic, and it's really hard for people to get to know us when we're people pleasing, when we're not telling the full truth, or when we're just saying what other people want to hear, or we're trying to appease other people. There's no room for true vulnerability and authenticity when you're putting on this mask and where you're just trying to impress other people or keep them happy.
Welcome to The Feminine Frequency, a podcast designed to awaken your feminine energy, elevate your confidence, and embody your authentic expression. I'm your host, Amy Natalie, women's empowerment coach, feminine embodiment guide, and author of The Feminine Way. Each week, you'll receive a new episode filled with feminine wisdom, practical tools, and inspiration to remind you of the feminine power that already lives inside of you. Ready to dive in? Let's do this, sister.
Hello, beautiful soul, and welcome to today's Intuitive Flow session. I am really grateful to have you here as a listener of The Feminine Frequency. Thank you for pressing play. Thank you for being here. And for my returning listeners, thank you for sharing this podcast with your friends, for sharing it online, for leaving reviews. And for those of you who are new here, welcome. I'm excited to introduce you to The Feminine Frequency. And today we're going to be talking about truth telling, which is all about speaking your truth from a place of authenticity and vulnerability so that you can cultivate deeper intimacy in your relationships. And one of the things that I really love about these Intuitive Flow episodes and having this time on the microphone to share from my heart to yours is that it does allow for deeper intimacy and connection here. And intimacy is something that I have been deeply passionate about for a long time. And more recently with myself and in my work, it's something that I've been passionate about teaching other women to not only create deeper intimacy in their relationships with others, but starting with their relationship with themselves and getting deeply intimate from an embodied level, getting intimate with your emotions, getting intimate with your sensations, getting intimate with your sensuality, with your body, with your intuition. And from this place of embodied self-intimacy, then cultivating these deeper relationships with people around you, right? So whether that's a romantic partnership or whether that is with your friendships or your family, it requires that we have a really deep connection with ourselves, with our needs, with our desires, with our boundaries, with our emotions, so that we can then communicate them effectively and be in healthy relationship with others. And so there's so much that I want to teach around this topic of embodied intimacy, and today I'm going to be teaching about one aspect of that. But if you'd like to go deeper into this conversation, I'm excited to share with you that I'm going to be hosting a free 2-hour workshop called Intimate on Thursday, May 9th from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And this workshop is for you if you want to develop deeper intimacy in your romantic partnership that you're currently in, or if you want to call in a soul-aligned partner where you can really have that deep physical and emotional and spiritual intimacy that you desire. So if you'd like to find out more about Intimate and join me for that workshop, you can scroll down to the link in the show notes and you can find all of the information there. In that workshop, I'm going to be teaching about the 3 pillars of embodied intimacy. And then I'm also going to be teaching about the 5 common intimacy blocks that I see the most for women in my community. So we're going to be unpacking those and helping you to see where there might be some blind spots when it comes to cultivating deep soul connection with yourself, with the people in your life, whether that be friends or romantic relationships. So I'm really excited to be with you in that space, and you can find out the details and register for free again through the link in the show notes. Okay, so let's get into our topic for today, which again is all about truth telling. And I love that I'm teaching this topic because if I'm being honest, I used to be really bad at this. This is something that I used to really struggle with. And over time, it's a skill that I've learned that I would say that I've pretty much mastered at this point. There's always room for improvement, but it is something that a lot of my friends and my clients come to me for support with because I really, really value authenticity and integrity when it comes to communication in my relationships. And when I say that I used to be really bad at this, I'm going to share some examples of how that used to show up for me. So I'm sure many of you can relate to being a people pleaser. I used to be the ultimate people pleaser. And especially in my marriage, which was in my mid-20s, I was married. For those of you who don't know my story, I was married. And one of the things that I learned the most from that experience and that 5-year relationship is that I wasn't being fully honest with my partner. Now, it wasn't coming from a malicious place, or I wasn't intentionally lying or withholding information from him, but because I had such a strong people-pleasing pattern, I wasn't being fully honest about how I was feeling. And one of the things that I discovered when I was in therapy was that people pleasing is not really about the other person. We think that we're people pleasing because we want to be nice, because we don't want to hurt other people's feelings. We don't want to disappoint them. We don't want to let them down. And yeah, of course, if you're a nice person and you're kind and you care about people, those things are true. But people-pleasing is actually a defense mechanism. It is a safety mechanism. It's a protector that we develop as women when we are younger. We develop it to stay safe and to stay loved and to appease our parents and the people around us, which is really all wrapped up in the good girl programming that we receive from society. And when we're people pleasing, it's actually a way that we try and protect ourselves from being abandoned, or where we try and protect ourselves from not being liked. And when we think about it from that perspective and really see people pleasing for what it is, it's actually really harmful in our relationships. It's something that causes us to be inauthentic, and it's really hard for people to get to know us when we're people pleasing, when we're not telling the full truth, or when we're just saying what other people want to hear, or we're trying to appease other people. There's no room for true vulnerability and authenticity when you're putting on this mask and where you're just trying to impress other people or keep them happy. So when I learned that people-pleasing was actually selfish, it was about me getting my needs met and about my fear of being alone or my fear of other people not liking me, I realized that I needed to change my relationship with people-pleasing and with how I was showing up. And I'll share even more specifically the example with my ex-husband is I had a lot of uncertainty in our relationship. We had a really good friendship. We had a lot in common. We had very similar family backgrounds and cultures, and there was a lot in our relationship that felt safe and comfortable. But some of the aspects that were out of alignment in our relationship that I learned as I was going through my spiritual awakening was that we didn't have similar values around personal growth, around having a spiritual connection, around our sexual relationship and polarity. Like, we just weren't on the same page about those things. And it wasn't an aligned match. And we tried to work on that, and we tried to work on those aspects. But simply put, it wasn't the right fit. And every time I would try to bring that up what would happen is that my partner felt unsafe and he would try to fix things, or he would get really anxious and I could see that he was visibly upset. And so I would just revert back to my people-pleasing patterns and I would stay in the relationship for a lot longer than I should have. And what ended up happening is that instead of being honest, even though it was really scary to do that, instead of being honest at the beginning, not right at the beginning, but when I started to realize that there was a misalignment, instead of being honest with that, I ended up withholding it. I would talk to my therapist about it. I would talk to my friends about it, but I wouldn't actually share it with him. And eventually, it ended up causing more hurt than it would have if I had just shared it initially and really followed through with that. And that's a lot easier said than done. I have a lot of compassion for that version of myself. And I know that I was doing the best that I could. And I really see this as my biggest learning, my biggest teaching from that relationship. And I saw where it was showing up in my other relationships too, right? Where I was just pretending that I was okay, pretending that everything was fine, but it wasn't. And then I would be holding on to these resentments and frustration and feeling anxiety around my relationships, but I wasn't actually sharing it. And the thing is that people can feel that. People can feel when you're being inauthentic, even when you're not sharing with them verbally that something feels out of alignment. They can feel that, and that creates distance. That doesn't allow for them to really know what's going on for you and to experience that deeper connection and understanding. When we break down the word intimacy, it's into me you see. Meaning that other people can really see you, they can understand you, they can feel you. But what we do a lot of the time is that we think that other people should be able to read our minds, or we try and hide what we're actually thinking and feeling because we don't want the other person to know what's going on, right? So we want to make sure that we are showing up from a place of honesty and authenticity. And what I've found in my relationships is that the more honest that I am, even when it means that we have to have challenging conversations, the more that people trust me. My friends and my partner trust that I'm going to say something if I feel hurt or if something doesn't feel right in our connection. I will bring it to them. And that creates a level of safety because they don't have to guess what I need. They don't have to worry if we have tension or if there's something going on. They know that I'll be honest with them. And they really appreciate that. And I even experienced this when I was on my dating journey. I experienced like so many times people will just ghost, or they won't say that they're not interested, or they won't share when something upsets them. And what I did when I was on a conscious dating journey before I met my partner is I was really honest and I would just share, hey, I really enjoyed spending time with you, or it was really nice to meet you. And I want to be honest that I don't feel a romantic connection here. I wish you the best of luck on your journey. And I can't tell you how many times people would say, thank you so much for just being honest, for being real. And there's so much love in that. Like, truth telling is really about sharing from a loving and intentional place. It's not about sharing from a place of projecting or from a place of blaming or like being rude. No, that I think can be the misconception about truth telling, is like you just get to say whatever you want, however you want to say it. And sure, you can do that, but it's not going to end up, or it's not going to result in deeper connection. So there's really an art when it comes to truth telling. And I'm going to share a few aspects of how you can bring your truth to someone else, how you can bring these vulnerable conversations to someone else. But first, the important piece before you can even communicate your truth is cultivating that deeper intimacy with yourself. Getting to know your needs, getting to know your desires, getting to know what you actually want to communicate with them. And when you feel that safety and security within yourself, when you have cultivated deep self-love, deep self-worth, deep self-trust, deep self-confidence, when you have that relationship with yourself where you feel whole and complete, and you know that even if the relationship that you're in is going to change, or even if you might not be in that relationship anymore, that you know deep down that you're going to be okay. It's that sense of true sovereignty. And this is what I really work on with my clients, is having this deep foundation in their relationship with themselves so that then they can show up authentically in their life. They're not showing up from a place of anxious attachment or fear of abandonment or codependency or fear of failure. They're showing up from a place of truth. And that's when you can really be honest with people, because you're not showing up from a place of, I'm afraid that this person's going to leave, or I'm afraid if something changes. Like, you know deep down that you have your back. You know that the universe has your back. You know that you are divinely supported and that you're going to be okay even if this friendship or this relationship changes. That's the place of deep sovereignty that we need to get to. And that's a journey that happens over time. So while you're working on that deep sovereignty, we can also work on some of the technical aspects of how you can start practicing speaking your truth with other people. So the first step is getting clear on what is it that you feel triggered by? What is it that's activating you? And looking within to see what are the emotions that it brings up for you? What are the stories that you're making up when you feel triggered by this other person? So for example, maybe you have a friend who is really inconsistent and they're flaky, and you feel like you feel sad or you feel disappointed in your friendship. And you can start making up a story about, this person doesn't care about me, our friendship's not important to them, or maybe they just don't want to be my friend anymore. You can make up all of these different stories. And then you could just like create space and not say anything. Or if this is a relationship that's really important to you, what you could do is really sort through, okay, how am I feeling right now? What's coming up for me? And how can I share this from a place of vulnerability and also from personal responsibility? Not blaming or shaming or judging this person, but actually sharing from your heart, hey, you know, when this happened or when this happens, it makes me feel this way. And what it brings up for me is something from my childhood, like a sisterhood wound or an abandonment wound. And I feel really sad about that, and I want to create a deeper connection with you. I'd love to understand what comes up for you in our dynamic, right? So that's a way that you can bring things forward vulnerably without making the other person wrong and sharing it from your own experience. The next piece that's really important is the timing of these conversations. So if you notice that you feel triggered or activated, I recommend to not have a conversation right when you're feeling that way. I recommend to give yourself some space to process on your own, in your journal, maybe talk to some friends or a therapist or a coach about it, process your emotions, cry, do what you need to. And then when you feel like you're able to come from a place of neutrality, meaning that you're not as activated by it, then you can reach out and say, hey, there's something that I'd love to talk to you about. When is a good time for us to talk about it, right? What I see with a lot of women is that we have this like urgency, like we want to say it right then and there. And that's not always the most effective way to communicate, because the other person might not be ready to receive you at that time. So for example, if your partner is coming home from work and you feel frustrated or angry or sad about something that happened earlier that day or yesterday, when he walks through the door at night, that's not the best time to tell him that. Or when he's at work and you want to call him and talk about it, that might not be the best time to tell him that. And it's really important for you to learn how to self-soothe and how to self-regulate, because it's not your partner's responsibility to make you feel okay. That's not their role. That is your responsibility. And so when you can come to a conversation from a regulated place, and it's not from this place of anxiety or from like feeling reactive, you're going to be much more effective in what you share. And they're also going to be able to receive you much more effectively as well. So instead of, you know, talking to your partner right before you go to bed or right when they come home from work or during the middle of the workday, ask them, when would be a good time for us to spend some quality time together? When would be a good time for us to connect? There's a few things that I want to share that have been coming up for me. And then create that sacred space and time where you're both not going to be distracted, where you actually have time to drop in and be present and talk about it, and where you can share from that neutral, non-activated space. That doesn't mean that you can't have emotions around it still. It doesn't mean that it can't still be present for you. But there's a difference between feeling your feelings and being reactive to your feelings, right? So when you're having this conversation, another thing that I find to be really helpful is to share at the beginning that you care about this relationship, that you want to work on this, that there's something that's coming up for you that you want to share because you want to be able to understand each other, right? And you can share from that place. And when you do that, people tend to let their guard down, their defense guard down. They don't feel like they're doing something wrong. They actually feel your desire for deeper connection, and that makes them feel safe. And another thing that I find that can be helpful in the beginning of these conversations is to share if you feel nervous or if you feel anxious or if you feel afraid of how they're going to respond. It can be helpful to just presence that. Like, hey, I noticed that I felt really nervous to have this conversation, or I noticed that I'm afraid that if I share this, you might shut down. And in doing that, there's so much humanness, there's so much vulnerability and authenticity that people really end up being more available to hear what you have to say. And then, like I mentioned earlier, when you are sharing what you have to say, you want to make sure that you're not blaming the other person, that you're not saying, you always do this, you should do this, and also making sure that you're not coming from a place of judgment or assumption. Really come from your own experience. This is how I'm feeling. This is what it brings up for me. And then let them share. What I found a lot of the time is that when I hear why they were acting a certain way or why they responded a certain way, it helps me to see their perspective and it helps me to see their humanness. And it helps to dissolve the stories that I was making up in my mind about why they showed up that way. So really coming from that place of curiosity and not from a place of judgment or blame. And then once you hear what they have to say, if you have any specific desires or needs moving forward of how you want them to show up or what would feel really supportive for you, then you can say, hey, you know, next time this happens, something that would feel really good for me is this. And ask them, are you open to trying that? Are you open to practicing that together, right? So I love this methodology of truth telling. I love this art form. And in my romantic relationship right now, I would say that this is the relationship where I have been the most honest in from the very beginning. And that honesty from both of us, even when it's been challenging to share what we want to share, and even if there was a possibility that it would mean that we weren't going to end up together, like that level of sovereignty and that level of honesty is what has created the safety and the depth of connection that we get to experience both physically and emotionally and spiritually with each other. And one of the places that this has shown up recently for us, and I would say like this is even a vulnerable share for me to share with you, is noticing little ways where people pleasing will sneak in. And even though I've made a lot of progress when it comes to people pleasing, one of the places where I've noticed recently that it's come up is in our lovemaking. And I think that there can be a lot of this like societal conditioning around lovemaking and pleasure being for your partner, right? And if we're making love and something feels uncomfortable physically, I notice that I don't speak up in the moment. Or if I'm noticing that he's feeling disconnected or I'm feeling disconnected, instead of presencing that and saying that, it's so easy to just stay quiet and not say anything. And something beautiful that we do in our relationship is we'll often talk about our lovemaking. We'll talk about our sex afterwards. It's not every single time, but we will often debrief either that day or some other time during the week. And we'll share, oh, this is what I noticed when we were having sex, or this is what came up for me. And we just have an open conversation about it. And one of the things that we've been talking about is where are there places where I'm not sharing, where I'm uncomfortable? And though there might be moments while we're having sex, also depending on where I'm at in my menstrual cycle, where it's more tender or where it's actually a little bit painful. And, you know, he asked me the question, why didn't you share that with me? And my answer was because of conditioning. I don't know, because of people pleasing, because I didn't want to, you know, mess up the flow of our intimacy. I didn't want to stop our intimacy. I didn't want to make you feel like you were doing something wrong. I just didn't speak up. And in those spaces, like when we are having physical intimacy with our partners, it is harder to speak up in those spaces because it's a really vulnerable space and we're not in our most grounded space. Like we're in a heightened pleasure space. We're in a heightened, you know, sensation space, and it can sometimes feel hard to come up with words. And I know a lot of women will end up freezing in those moments instead of sharing, hey, I feel uncomfortable. So I think it's important to have grace and to be okay. Like if you're not speaking up in the moment, it's something that we can practice over time. And it's something that I'm learning how to do even in those really intimate moments is just sharing what's coming up for me, right? And then that way my partner can really understand me. He doesn't have to guess or wonder like, is this uncomfortable for her? Like he just trusts that I'm going to say something. And that can allow us to go even deeper into our physical intimacy because we're sharing and being honest about what's working, what we like, what's not feeling good. And then we can adjust accordingly. So I wanted to share that because I do feel like having really good, honest communication helps both the emotional intimacy, but it really also helps with physical intimacy as well. So that brings us to the end of our intuitive flow for today. I really enjoyed sharing this insight with you, this embodied wisdom with you. And again, if you're wanting to go deeper into this conversation around embodied intimacy, getting to know yourself on a deep, intimate level, and showing up as your authentic self in your relationships, then I would absolutely love to connect with you in my upcoming free workshop called Intimate. So you can find out the info for that in the link in the show notes. Make sure to register and put it on your calendar. And that's also a space where you and I can connect more intimately. While I love this podcast and I love being able to share this wisdom with thousands of women every single week, there is something about deeper connection where I really get to see your face, where I get to know you more, where I get to hear what's coming up for you in the realm of relationships and love and, you know, really looking at what's going on in your inner world. that's what lights me up the most. And so being in this workshop space and or in my membership, The Feminine Portal, are really great opportunities for us to deepen together. And I would love to get to know you more. So come on over and join me for Intimate on May 9th. I look forward to seeing you then. And if you loved this episode, make sure to share it with a friend, share it on your Instagram stories, subscribe to the podcast, and leave a rating and review. Those are all great ways that you can spread the love for The Feminine Frequency. All right, my love, have a beautiful rest of your day. We'll see you next week.